Hi, welcome to episode 18 of the Woke-ish podcast. This is Ebony.
And this is Zalma.
And this week we will be talking about transracialism. What is that? Yeah. We don't know either, but we'll figure it out together. But before we get there, we'll start with our shout-out segment.
Yes, and so our first shout-out goes to Lil Nas X. And so on the last day of Pride Month, which is June, he came out as gay. And as expected, a whole bunch of homophobia was spewed on the internet. So I just wanted to shout him out because I know it takes a lot of courage to come out. One, when you're a public figure. Two, when you're a person of color, especially a black man. Three, when you're a man. And four, when you're in the rap industry.
Yeah.
So,
is there anybody else that any other rappers?
Frank Ocean isn't.
Oh yeah, I think he's bi.
Yeah.
But any rappers?
What's his name? Yes. Well, it's not confirmed, but Tyler the Creator. There's suspicion that he said that he's gay, but we don't know if he's trolling or if he's for real. But like an openly gay rapper, no, there isn't.
Yeah. One. Yeah, and I was hearing that a lot of the backlash was from like parents and stuff because apparently Lil Nas X is really big among the baby crowd.
Yeah, because his song isn't like too rough.
Yeah.
But which, I mean, I don't know. I think, it must be really hard to avoid all, like, he knew the backlash that was going to happen. He's gotten a lot of support, which is great. You know, people like Nelly coming out and being supportive. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, but I also know that there's, like, a lot of nobodies who just started circulating all these memes about, him and the lyrics to his song and how they have a different meaning because
Really?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't even know his homophobic. Song. I don't know the words.
Yeah, just making some of his lyrics homophobic and making it just kind of like demasculating him. And so shout out to him.
Yeah.
And to, people who are... who've had the coming out journey and, however tough it was or if it wasn't, it takes a lot of emotional energy to put yourself out there in that way. And I think especially on a platform so large. Yeah. So shout out to him and hopefully, he's okay and dealing with the negativity in the best way that he can.
Is he like 18 or something?
He's young. I don't know how young he is.
Yeah, I think he's 20.
20?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know why for some reason he was just like a baby to me.
He seems really young. Yeah. Yeah. And then our second shout out goes to the women's U.S. national soccer team who won the 2019 World Cup in France. So this is the fourth time that they won the World Cup and the second time in a row because they won the last World Cup. Oh. So yeah, so shout out to them. I watched the game. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's crazy that they still get paid less than the men.
Yeah.
I saw the men play that night in the Gold Cup against Mexico, and they lost.
They sucked.
And, I mean, they have some good players that are like, to be really good, unfortunately for soccer, the best players play in Europe. That's the elite. So we have, the U.S. team has like four players that play in Europe. And some of them are like really good. But I think just compared the success of the men's team to the women's team is not equivalent. And then the whole reasoning behind it was, well, men bring in more revenue by bringing in more, viewers. But so many people watch the Women's World Cup because of the U.S. soccer team. They, like, kicked ass. And so I think that it's just crazy that it's still like you can literally check all the boxes, be the best, mm-hmm. bring in the viewers, like win everything, win more, yeah. and still people will find a way to say, but you still don't yeah. deserve to be paid. Not even more, but equal.
Who makes those, them like who?
FIFA.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know what the board or whatever looks
They're
like?
They're suing. I'm sure it's men, but the women are suing.
But is FIFA, are they comprised of like men from where? I'm Europe sure. or?
Oh yeah, it's international, so it's yeah. not just American.
Yeah.
But I'm like 99% sure it's mostly men. I would be surprised if there was a woman on mm-hmm. FIFA. But FIFA has been known to be super corrupt. Yeah. Like, and they've just gone under a lot of investigation. So it's not like a very trustworthy organization anyway. Yeah. But still, I mean, but I think the good thing is it really brought a lot of positive attention to female athletes. And yeah. so I think that that's positive in itself. And so I also liked that their families were there. And so it highlights like them as mothers, as, you know, partners, as wives, yeah. as it was just kind of like these are like everyday people. They're just yeah. like badass athletes too. And it was really fun to watch them, and I am super happy with their success. And so shout out to them and to all the fans, and hopefully they're inspiring more women to just be in elite soccer so that yeah. we can have more teams like this, and hopefully like keep generating that revenue to make the case for equal pay.
So who's suing? The American team or mm-hmm. all women?
The American team is suing FIFA for equal pay.
Yeah.
So.
That's badass.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah. So our last shout out goes to California for becoming the first state to ban employers and school officials from discriminating against people based on their natural hairstyles with the new Crown Act law. So I guess it's kind of weird that there needs to be a ban on that,
yeah.
on discrimination, but it's a thing. And so proud of my home state for paving the way.
Yeah,
and hopefully, like I usually say, hopefully more states follow suit.
Yeah.
And yeah, that wraps up our shout out segment. And now for our In the Know segment. Extra, extra, read all about it. Okay, so now for our In the Know segment.
Yeah, and so our first story is I'm starting to try to choose a lighter story that can kind of have significance. So last week we talked about the fake baby bumps mm-hmm. and the implications for that. And so this week I wanted to talk about Dr. Seuss. And apparently there's this big controversy about whether schools should continue to have Dr. Seuss in their libraries.
What?
Because a lot of people are saying that Dr. Seuss is actually kind of racist. So some of his books have been criticized for apparently how they portray people of color. So in And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, which I don't think I've read, a character is described as Chinese, and in the illustration has two lines for eyes, chopsticks, and a bowl of rice. So like very stereotypical way of kind of depicting this Chinese person. And then in another book, If I Ran the Zoo, which I also haven't read, two men said to be from Africa are shown shirtless, without shoes, and wearing grass skirts. So kind of also another stereotype of how...
And this has always been a thing?
Yes, and this has been in his books. And then outside of his books, Dr. Seuss apparently in college participated in a show where he donned blackface.
And Dr. Seuss is real?
You know what? It referred, I don't think he's a doctor, but it referred to him as Seuss in the article.
I totally thought this was a fictional person.
You thought Dr. Seuss was he's a real person.
Yeah.
Theodore Seuss Geisel or Geisel.
I thought maybe it was like...
No, the pen name is Dr. Seuss. Okay, so he's not a doctor. Yeah, but he's real. Oh, so he went to Dartmouth. So he went to Ivy League. But yeah, apparently there he participated in this really racist show and he wore blackface. And so people are kind of like, if we have indications that this guy is problematic, should we be encouraging children to read his books? Or should we have more books that portray people of color in a more positive way?
Why not just get rid of those two books?
Yeah, because then people started saying, oh, well, if we're going to have this conversation about if the author's problematic and has some indications of racism, then let's go and look at all these books. And
because literally we could just get rid of Disney.
Yeah, that's true.
We could just wipe out all of the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
All of everything.
Yeah. Because then they started talking about, well, what about The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn? Because how they depict black people, you know, because it's with slavery. Mm-hmm. And so, and then they use the N-word. And so they're like, you know, is it okay for us to be letting like 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds be reading this book with N-words? And so then people are like, but it's a historical piece. It's like a depiction of what life was like. And this is it's considered a classic book. And so are we going too far in censoring, or is it just quote unquote righting a wrong? And what's the, who gets to decide what is problematic and who it's problematic for? And
probably the people that are offended by
it. I don't know. I mean, I'm taking shots in the dark here, but yeah. So I read The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, mm-hmm. and I remember being like, whoa, because I couldn't believe that.
How old were you?
I would have read this in middle school, so.
I've never read it.
You haven't? Yeah. I mean, it really is it depicts slaves as, like, dumb. Mm. So it is, looking back on it as an adult, I'm just kind of like, I don't know how much I was able to fully understand as a 10-year-old about the fact that it's a problem that they're depicting slave. It was just kind of like this white boy was depicted as smarter than the adult slave man. And so it's just kind of like, what did that do to my 10-year-old self? Like, did that make me believe that black people are inferior in a way, or dumb, or slaves were dumb, or something? Because as a 10-year-old, the concepts that you retain aren't as developed as me reading it now as a 20-year-old, where I can say, oh, this kid is so selfish. The whole point is that this kid was he was really selfish, self-absorbed, he's self-centered, like the kid is the wrong one. But as a 10-year-old, I was like, oh my gosh, Tom Sawyer is so badass, like he was able to do this, and like all this stuff. And so I kind of like am in both, because I think that Mark Twain, like, he has, in American literature, he is a significant person. Like, he has contributed a lot of works that are considered to be one of the classic in American literature. But I don't think it's okay to just give a 10-year-old this book without really having discussions about what this means. And we didn't have those discussions. And I think it was because our teachers just didn't want to have the whole N-word discussion to a 10-year-old. But then can we even have these discussions with a 6-year-old who's learning how to read and be like, okay, this Chinese person, this isn't how Chinese people really are.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like people are talking about, well, in a public school, what do we do? Do we just get rid of all these books and just have new ones?
I would think so. Yeah. Because I mean, I've had this conversation before about, you know, the pieces that we read at like our level or like the collegiate level, like the, you know, the pieces that are like the canons, but they're sexist and racist and homophobic and they act like no minority groups exist. Mm-hmm. And it's like all just white men that existed in their world. And that even though it's like, okay, this is the canon, this is history, this is, you know, fundamental or whatever, what are we actually fearing will be lost by, you know, I don't know, allowing students to read things that are more current, that are more appropriate, because I guess there's that, like getting rid of the things, but then there's also the alternative, which is like what you're saying, where if we're going to have these things, we need to be having critical conversations about them. But then there are certain people who are too little to understand those conversations, you know? And so I think for something like Dr. Seuss, it's like, okay, these two books, they're depicting people in racist ways.
Yeah.
Let's take those books out. Now, as far as Dr. Seuss himself, like, I don't think that we should completely just get rid of all of those books because of how he, because he did blackface at one point in his life. Because again, then we'd have to get rid of everything. Like, you know, I mean, if you've ever seen any of the original Disney cartoons, oh my God. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Like, the way, what? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the, yeah, like the racism.
And Disney himself was like anti-Semitic and racist. It is
crazy. Yeah. Have you seen the ones with, like, with black people in them? All they eat is watermelon all day.
Yes.
And
yes,
sing and wear, the English is, it's bad. Yeah. So, I mean, what they did with those cartoons is that they just don't show them anymore, right? But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if we were to get rid of everything Disney, like, that would be insane. People would be so, what? The way that they're acting about Ariel right now, they would be so up in arms about this. So I don't know. I mean, I think that they're, you know, we're kind of constrained in that there are a lot of people that are really invested in, like, American history. And I get that. You know, these are, this is part of, like, our, this is part of our history. But, I mean, if we don't want to, what everybody pretends to want is for racism or the discussions of racism to end. And so if we're going to stop talking about racism, the basis for racism has to also end. You know, we can't continue to have racism but not talk about it.
Yeah.
So I think, like, certain things that if it's, like, reproducing a lot of those same sentiments, like teaching kids that, like, I mean, I didn't read this book, but the Huckleberry Finn thing, if it's teaching kids that black people who are the descendants of the slaves that they're reading about are dumb or inferior, then, yeah, we probably shouldn't be reading those books. Or we should at least be having critical conversations in middle school classrooms about what it means and why it's an issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, teachers, K-12 teachers don't get paid enough for shit like
that. Yeah, I know. We're asking too much.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you bringing up Ariel brings us to our next, you know, topic, which is, you know, that Halle Bailey was announced as Ariel in the Disney live action version of The Little Mermaid. And she is one half of the group Chloe and Halle. Mm-hmm. And they're not only singers, but they're also actresses.
Yeah, Grownish is so good.
Yeah, I have. And so, although this announcement was met with praise by many, there is also, as expected, a lot of backlash since Halle is black and I guess all mermaids are white.
And they all have red hair.
Yeah, and so I've heard several arguments. One of the arguments I've heard is it's based on a Dutch, the guy who wrote The Little Mermaid was Dutch, and so Dutch people are white, so the initial character was white. That's one argument that I've heard.
So then should Ariel be Dutch?
I know. It's because, one argument that I heard.
Yeah.
Another argument I heard is, well, if we, what if we casted a white, like, that this is only done as, like, a diversity thing, and what if we were to cast a white person as Mulan, if, like, race doesn't matter in the way, because the argument is Ariel should be black, white, it doesn't matter her race because she's a mermaid and mermaids aren't real. But then it's like, okay, well then what if we casted white people in another princess like Mulan? And I had to tell the person, I was like, well, I think, like, Mulan was actually based on, either even if it was based or not, like, the historical context of Mulan is, like, China.
Yeah.
So it would have to be,
there was, like, the war and everything.
Yeah, so it'd have to be, like, a Chinese person. Like, that's different.
Or a white person who grew up in China.
I mean, if it was, like, about, I don't know. So I was just kind of, like, it's been a frustrating conversation to see on the internet and to have with people about, one, it's hard for me to understand how you can get so angry at girl being Ariel.
You know why?
I don't get it.
Because racism. These are privileged people that have nothing to be upset about in real life.
So they choose Ariel?
Yeah, so it's like, oh, this is from my childhood. I grew up with, I mean, I'm sure there are some people who like Little Mermaid is their favorite movie ever or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what they have to be like, if you are not a minority, you don't have, you know, you're not concerned about inequality. You know, you're not an immigrant who has immigration to think about. You're not a black person who has racism to think about. You're not a sexual minority who has homophobia to think. Like if you're a white, cisgender, heterosexual person, what do you have to be upset about? Oh, who's cast in the new, like, Disney live action film?
Yeah.
And you're in pieces. You are in tears about this. You are protesting Disney. You are starting petitions.
Yeah.
Petitions.
To cancel Disney.
And it actually had like hundreds of thousands of signatures.
That's crazy.
For what? It's not that. I mean, and maybe I'm biased. You know, I'm sitting here.
I mean, I'm like, not black and I don't get it. Like, I don't get how. What is that going to do? Like, is your daughter going to what? Like, what?
She won't identify with
Hallie
Ariel.
Hallie is such racially a role model. The way that she carries herself, her presence on the internet, she's talented. Even her character on the show that she plays is like she's the reserved sister. And it's just kind of like, if we were casting, maybe you could make an argument with this person is a bad role model, regardless of her race. Yeah. You know, they could play that. But it really is only about the fact that she's black.
Well, they were saying that it's not about the fact that she's black. It's about the fact that she doesn't have red hair.
Actress would have dyed her hair. How many actresses have dyed her hair?
They would all have to wear wigs. No matter. There is no one who has red hair like as that. Pigmented as Ariel.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody
And even
exists.
If they do, they've dyed it.
Yes.
Because actresses
so
have to
like,
change their hair.
She's gonna undoubtedly wear a wig. They're not gonna have her with her dreads in the ocean playing Ariel. I mean, that would be crazy.
I don't think that
they're going to do that.
Maybe
I doubt
it. Maybe
it
could be red. I don't know.
What if Ariel is like, what if she does have dreads and she's like Caribbean?
I don't know.
What if she's like
Jamaican?
You
didn't see that picture in Instagram of her? They're kind of saying that it's
that would be dope.
One of those like behind the scene.
Oh, they've already started doing
I don't know. That's why I'm saying that, because there's this picture where she has red hair and she's like, it looks like they're at a movie set. And so a lot of people were saying that.
Oh, that would be so cool.
And in this picture, she kind of has her hair in the dreads, like in the way that she wears them.
Uh-huh.
But they're red. I don't know if it's real.
I mean. I'm here for it again. I'm biased. But, you know, going back to what you're saying about like them saying, well, what if they casted, you know, a white person as Mulan, or I saw also a white person as Princess Tiana. It's like you recognize that there are like, we could count on one hand how many Disney princesses of color there are.
I think we just named them. Mulan and Tiana.
Yeah. Well, and Pocahontas.
Yes.
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 And it's like, if they cast those people as white.
And Princess Jasmine.
Oh, yeah, Jasmine. Yes. So it's like, you know, every other community has one of each. And yet we have Snow White, we have Cinderella,
Sleeping Beauty, Belle.
We literally have everybody. Every other Disney princess is white.
Rapunzel.
And, yes. And like, and those ones are from the very beginning. These others are recent.
Yeah.
They're recent developments, you know, and it's kind of like, oh, here, now we need some diversity because diversity is hot, you know? And so, I mean, I think that people ultimately, we're going to see more and more of this, right?
Yeah.
Because the people that consume Disney products are not just, they're not just white.
Yeah.
So the reason that a Princess Tiana is important, or a Mulan, or a Pocahontas, or a Jasmine is important, is because there are little girls who come from those ethnic backgrounds that need to see themselves reflected in, you know, the media that they're consuming. Like, that's important.
Yeah.
That's important for a little black girl to have a princess whatever, even if it's a fictional character to look up to, because we understand that those fairy tales or whatever are important to childhood. Like, a lot of our ideas and the way, like, I study family, right? And so a lot of our ideas about marriage and family and stuff like that that we develop early on are come from Disney.
Yeah.
Like, our ideas about marriage and, like, you know, this, the man that's supposed to come sweep you off your feet and da-da-da-da-da. So if there are little girls that do not have, you know, those images, and it, I mean, I have lots of friends who have told me stories about them wearing or wanting blonde wigs when they were growing up, because this is, you know, like, I grew up obviously before Princess Tiana.
Yeah.
And, like, I did not do that, but I have friends that did, and people that I've interviewed that have told me stories about that, that they, like, cried and cried and cried because their mom would not give them a blonde wig, or their mom did give them a blonde wig and they feel like that was the start of their, like, insecurity about their own hair or their own, you know, or their own skin color or whatever. And it's like, why don't I look like, you know, or, and I have, like, a little cousin who wants for every, you know, wants to be Princess Elsa
from Frozen.
Yes. And it's like that, you know, this is not to say that this is like the most awful thing in the world, but we want to raise kids that have a solid sense of themselves, solid sense of their identity, and they can see themselves represented.
Yeah.
You know, and so even if Ariel has been white with red hair forever, again, she's a fish or half fish.
Yeah.
Those things don't exist. She can be black.
Yeah.
Maybe there are mermaids in the Caribbean waters, and this Ariel comes from a different time-space continuum, and she, or a different dimension, and she's black.
I mean, Sebastian the Crab, wasn't he, like, Caribbean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know. It's really stupid, and it's petty, and I feel, and all the people that had Not My Ariel trending on Twitter, like, y'all should be ashamed. Like, this is, I think the girl is, what, 18? Like,
she's young.
Like, that's unnecessary to do. Like, you're not, I don't know, it's...
Be mad at something else. Be mad at the migrant children in cages. She's 19. Yeah, be mad about the fact that Trump spent millions of dollars on a parade for one day.
Like, real life stuff.
Yeah, be mad at that. Yeah.
But, yeah, they have nothing else to care about. Okay, so next, people are boycotting Home Depot, apparently, after co-founder and Atlanta billionaire Bernie Marcus pledged to back President Trump's bid for re-election in 2020. But the kicker also is that, according to OpenSecrets.org, he also was a top contributor to Donald Trump during his first presidential run as well, donating $7 million.
Yeah.
So crazy. So I read the interview that Bernie Marcus did with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that kind of spurred all of this into motion. And he actually seems like a really nice guy. So he's 90 years old and plans to donate pretty much all of his money to various philanthropic causes. He gifted the Atlanta Aquarium to the city of Atlanta, which I've been to, and it's very beautiful. He also donated millions for an autism center in Atlanta and millions more for a trauma center and a stroke and neuroscience center at Grady Health System. And he says that his donations to these causes and others like it far exceed his political contributions. He apparently plans to donate all the rest of his money before he dies.
Which is to Trump?
No, to like to philanthropy. But so facing backlash, Home Depot has distanced itself from Bernie.
Oh.
And the Home Depot spokeswoman, which, I mean, I didn't know they had it. I wonder if they, if
everyone, I like, think everyone must have a spokesperson.
Yeah, it's like, what is her job normally?
When, yeah, that's true.
When
that's
it
true.
Isn't this, because, I mean, it's not like Home Depot is in the headlines often, but anyways, so she, Margaret Smith, said in a statement to NPR that Marcus retired more than a decade ago and is not speaking on behalf of the company. And I quote her in saying, in fact, as a standard practice, the company does not endorse presidential candidates. So Trump, of course, staying true to who he is as a person, has tweeted out against the boycotts, and the left using his words more generally, but what really got me was how he framed boycotting as a radical tactic of the left, essentially saying that the left doesn't care about businesses or business owners, even though he has encouraged his base to boycott before. But like we pointed out last week, we know that his memory is very short when it comes to his own actions. Yeah. Like, he cannot recall. But yeah, I was so torn with this because I was like, oh no, like, he's endorsing Trump. And then I went to read the article and I'm like, oh, this guy, he's like such
nice
a sweet
people
guy.
People can be super problematic, when they're old.
And I think because, so for him, he was saying that, like, he identifies or relates to Trump because Trump is a businessman and he uses business logic to run the country. Yeah, anyway. And, I mean, again, this is a 90-year-old man. Yeah,
that's
so
what I keep
what era. Yeah, the era that he grew up in is, like, but, I mean, this is not, you know, not to say that all is forgiven or whatever. I don't necessarily think that Home Depot should be punished for, you know, what he has said or what his actions, especially because he's no longer tied to the company and doesn't represent it. But I just thought that, you know, this was really interesting that he like, why is he doing interviews? He's 90.
That's true. Some of the journalists are like, yes.
Yes, why don't, like, he's like, ooh, hot take. Like, why don't you just, I don't know what 90-year-olds do when they have a lot of money. Like,
I don't know. He should.
I was going to say golf, but that seems kind of like a lot of, 90's really old. Like, it seems like you should just be watching TV or eating fruit snacks and Jell-O or something. I don't know. Hanging out with your grandkids? I don't know.
Great,
doing interviews? Probably not. Probably not. Because it seems like when old people do interviews, they just say shit that they should not say. And then people gotta come behind them and, you know, do cleanup work. Like, who was that? Somebody did an interview last year where they were telling all of these secrets about different, like, singers and stuff.
Yes, gay. I forgot, some old person.
Yeah, and then his kids had to come forward and say, like, oh, he's old
Quincy?
And senile. Yeah, they were like, yeah, it was Quincy Jones, and they were like, oh, he's old and senile, like, don't pay him any mind. And it's like, no, you're not in touch with this era. There are certain things that you do not need to say, but he was just airing all the dirty laundry. So yeah, I feel like that's the lesson learned, is like, if you're over like 80, 85, you probably don't need to be doing interviews that are not at least monitored by somebody on your team or something.
Yeah, needs to be filtered.
Yeah. But that wraps up our In the Know segment, and now we'll jump into our What's Being Slept On segment.
The show suggests that you wake the fuck up.
Okay, so this week, like Ebony mentioned earlier, we're talking about transracial, whether it's a thing, whether, like, what it really means, what we feel about it. And so, you know, I'm sure many of you guys remember Rachel Dolezal. And if you don't, she's the white woman who said that she identified as African American. And with that, it sparked the whole conversations about what transracial is, because she claims that she's transracial. So I actually looked up transracial to get a basic definition of what it was. And so, according to Wikipedia, transracial people are individuals who assert a racial identity for themselves which differ from their birth race. And so I think that, and I was telling Ebony that I kind of wanted to talk about this because I'm reading a book about transgender people, and a lot of people sometimes when I talk about, because I do studies on transgender populations or people who don't identify as cisgender, they kind of, in order to kind of push me to answer some of their questions about the studies that I'm doing, ask me, well, if you can be transgender, can you be transracial? And so that's always, I've never had a good response to that. They're two separate things, so we're not going to talk about transgender in this episode. We're focusing on transracial, but I just want to give a context as to like why this even came up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And so the Rachel example is very clear cut. It's a white woman who says that for some reason she identifies as African American. Her parents are white. And I think that for me, what just makes it, I don't know, more than just wanting to choose a different racial identity, it was the fact that she engaged in practices that she felt were Black.
Yeah.
Like the way she did her hair, mm-hmm. the way that she darkened her skin, the organizations that she just kind of like, in, she took on this persona of what a Black woman would be. And so something about the fact that this is what you think being Black is, but not really, it brought up a lot of questions. And so that's why I wanted to kind of like go through that and unpack that in this episode.
Yeah.
And so Rachel is just one example of it. But I was talking to Ebony about how on, you may have seen this on social media, but there are some girls or some women who are also getting backlash for trying to pass as different races than they are. For example, by tanning themselves to the point where they actually look like Hispanic or Middle Eastern or Black when they're actually white.
Apparently there are a lot of girls on Instagram
that are not Black. And not just like tanning themselves, but the way they do their makeup, getting their butts done. And so it's just kind of like to think, I'm just going to choose a different race than the race that I was born with. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, you add, and the race that I'm choosing, I'm going to act in a way that I think that people from this race act, and it's kind of borderline, it's kind of offensive to be like,
because I'm just picking
parts. Yeah, being Black is having a big butt, mm-hmm. having my nails done, doing my makeup this way, and having hair, like long hair.
Yeah.
Or being Hispanic is wearing hoop earrings and eating hot Cheetos. Like, just like really like stereotypical things where it's like, is it racist to how these people would argue appreciate a different race? Mm-hmm. Or are they engaging in stereotypes about a group of people that, like you said, they can pick and choose without ever really having to, because they could just take their makeup off, you know, the spray tan off, and be white and not experience the world as a Black woman. Mm-hmm. So is it can you really be transracial in that way? Yeah. And so that's kind of like what I wanted to talk about. And you know, I'm a Hispanic person and Ebony is a Black woman, and so I feel like we have different takes on it. Because I was telling Ebony as while we were preparing for this episode, within the Hispanic community, technically, the race is white and our ethnicity is Latino or Hispanic. And so I have friends who consider themselves white, even though they like speak Spanish, their parents are immigrants, they consider themselves Hispanic. But I don't consider myself white, and other people kind of always push me and say, but you are white. And so I'm always kind of stuck in the middle of, I'm pretty brown. When you look at me, you don't think I'm white, but I don't feel like I can choose whiteness. Like I don't know, in a way, I don't think I can be transracial. Like, I don't think I can just say I'm going to, and is that being transracial? For my friends who are Hispanic and say they are white, are they being transracial? Mm. Or is it transracial only for white people? Like, it's a super confusing topic that I think complicates our understanding of race.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think, so I've had a lot of conversations about the Rachel Dolezal thing over the years, and like why it isn't okay. And I think, but why it isn't okay, but then also why it's interesting, because I think generally Black people are pretty open and like welcoming when it comes to their culture. I guess I should say we are pretty welcoming when it comes to our culture. I think that where people take issue is when, like, one, like what we're talking about, there's cherry picking, right? So it's like, I like these parts of the culture and I don't like these others. So I'm going to take, you know, the aesthetic stuff because I think that that's cool. And then I'm going to embrace it as my own. But then on the other side, when that culture is embraced or touted by Black people themselves, it is like denigrated. It's like, oh, this is ghetto. This is, you know, like what I just talked about in the, like what I gave California a shout out for is that, you know, Black, like it's Black people are discriminated against for wearing their actual hair. Like just the way that it grows out of their head. It's like, no, you can't do that in the workplace because what we want is, you know, like this Eurocentric kind of like straight hair, you know, straightened kind of thing and down or whatever. So when another group wants to wear an afro and suddenly it's cool, it's like that makes that the inferiority that Black people have had to kind of tolerate or put up with, it's kind of just like swept under the rug. Like even though I have been told that I can't wear my hair in this way, now this other person is wearing their hair in this way and it's cool. Or even though I've been told that, like, oh, my skin is a problem or whatever and I'm treated poorly because of that, now, you know, Kim Kardashian can come out with this body lava shimmer that makes your skin dark and now it's cool. Yeah. Or because my community has been told that our music is a problem, but now when I don't know, white rappers make the same music, yeah, now it's cool. Or the bodies that, you know, Black, that not all Black women obviously, but that Black women stereotypically have, like that's a problem, it's too much. But then when all of the Kardashians or Iggy Azalea or everybody else that has fake butts does it, it's cool. You know, so I think that that kind of is more so the issue, not, and so I thought that, so in because of that, I thought that Rachel Dolezal was not the worst case, because she worked for the NAACP, like, yeah, she was doing, you know, she was doing all of this stuff that, you know, what was for the purpose of, well, one, camouflaging her real racial identity, but then also kind of for the, like, ascension and like upliftment of the Black community, and so I appreciated that, you know, and versus like other folks like say Kim Kardashian that does all of this stuff that is like so obviously taken from Black culture but then claims that in the same breath that it isn't.
Yeah,
you know, so I don't know, I think it's like, if you're gonna, for me it's like, if you're gonna take it, you gotta take all of it. It can't be like, oh, I'm gonna pick parts of it that I like and, you know, I don't know, in either act like the other parts don't exist or denigrate the other parts or, you know, treat the people who have those things kind of inherently or like it's part of their culture as inferior for having those, for having or possessing those things. So I don't know. I think that transracial, well, one, it isn't possible for everybody. You know, which I think is something that's different than transgender, is like, you know, if we all wanted, we could all be transgender. Like, we could all engage in that, you know, process. But, like, there's no way that I could say that I was white. You know, other than, like, on paper. Like, if I was filling out the census, I could check the white box, you know? But I could not, like, me telling whoever that I was white isn't going to change my experience, you know? Like, I'm not going to be treated as white. Like, I could say it all I want. There was that girl on the Maury show or whatever.
Yeah,
that Black girl that was saying that she was white.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can say that all you
Martina
want.
Martina Big.
Yeah, but you just look ridiculous because nobody is treating you or viewing you in that way. So, it, like, I think that race is hard because it is, in a lot of ways, contingent on outsiders' kind of view and appraisals of you. So it doesn't matter how you see yourself. Even in, I think that this is one of the reasons why a lot of folks who are multiracial have a hard time, because it doesn't matter whether or not you see yourself as multiracial, or you could identify however you want, but if outsiders look at you and see you a certain way, that's how you're going to be treated.
Yeah.
That's how the world is going to receive you. So yeah, I don't know. I am here for the like appreciating thing. If you're actually appreciating,
yeah.
But don't like, I'm not here for the like stealing thing. Like, don't take my shit and call it yours, because it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this made me think of, so there's a movie called Skin. I don't know if you've seen it. It was in 2008, and it was about, it's actually about a real woman named Sandra Lang, who lived in South Africa during the apartheid era. And so her parents were white, a white man and a white woman. Her grandparents were white. It was like three generations of white people, but she looks black. Oh. And so in the movie, they kind of allude to, there must have been some lineage in her family, where it just genetic random, she just turned out kind of looking black. And so during the apartheid era, the way that they kind of tested whether you were
white. This girl was switched at birth. There's no way.
You should watch the movie, it's really interesting. During the apartheid era, the way that they tested whether you were white or black was based on, one, your skin color and your hair texture. So they put a pencil in your hair, and if it like stayed because it was thick enough, then you were black.
Yeah.
And so she was
brown paper bag test.
Yeah, so she was white. She was categorized as white at birth. And then when she was 10, she was expelled from her all-white school because they were like, no, you're actually black. So they changed her race to black. And so it's a very, very unique and outlier, like, that doesn't really happen a lot. But I just think, like, that is just so another, it's, like, kind of reverse, where she was like, I'm white because my parents are white, my grandparents are white, I was born white, but now I'm black because, but if you see a picture of her,
what color was the milkman?
And that was a theme in the movie, is that the mom always had to, that everyone, the dad was like, you know what, just tell me that, you know, it was someone else, I'll forgive you and I can love you. And the whole, throughout the movie, the mom was just kind of like, the mom's plot line was always have to defend the fact that she didn't cheat on her husband, and that this is her biological daughter, and that her husband is the father. So I don't know.
Did they ever test them? Because it's like, I heard it. There was a story about that recently. Where was that? Where the woman said both the parents are white, but the daughter came out black, and she was saying that it was because of the coffee that the husband drank or something like that. And I mean, not to say I don't buy it, but it's just like, how?
I don't know. Apparently they separated due to the pressure of like the scrutiny. And there was issues about, like, during apartheid, different races couldn't raise each other. Mm-hmm. So if her daughter was a different race than her, she couldn't raise her daughter. Yeah. So, and she couldn't change her race to colored, which is the other race other than white. Yeah. And so, I don't know. It doesn't say anything. Apparently, like, the family was just broken after that. Like, her family. She's just didn't end up having a good relationship with either her mother or her father. And she lost contact with her family because they were separated.
So what did they do? Like, who raised her ultimately? That's kind of, so she just, her mom just, they just,
she attended a boarding school that was for quote unquote colored people away from her family, and then she married some guy when she was 16.
They couldn't leave South Africa?
I guess not. I mean, apartheid was crazy.
You said she married a what?
Then she just married someone when she was 16. She left and married someone when she was 16. And then she was estranged from her family, and her family moved away. What? Yeah. I guess because she, like, when she ran off to get married to some guy, and, like, her family was against it, and that led to the estrangement with her family. Her family eventually moved away. She lost contact with her family.
What?
Yeah. And then when her family moved away, she separated with her husband, and apparently just went downhill from him. Yeah, so she had, it doesn't say anything about if they ever did a DNA test, but that would have been actually kind of
necessary. I kinda, it seems like I
wanted to see that, but you know, she was born in 1955, so I don't know if, and her parents are dead, so how can you do DNA testing?
Does she have any siblings
now? She did have siblings.
I'm
but
going
she's the
for
only one that looks not white.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going for either the milkman or she was accidentally switched. Which, you know, I've actually been thinking about that a lot lately, and I feel like there are probably a lot of kids who have been accidentally switched.
I mean, now it's hard because as soon the moment they're born, they put an identifying
band.
And yours, and yes, back in the day, I could totally see
that. Because, like, do you think that this is evil, right? But there's a lot of evil in the world. At some point in time, there was someone who was switching babies for fun. For sure.
I don't know. I mean, I would believe it that there was at least one person.
Yeah.
But in that case, so she was trying, technically be labeled as trying to be transracial because she was born one race and then she was classified as colored.
So she was born what race?
She was born white. Like, her race was white.
Because, yeah, it's like, okay, so this goes into, you know, stuff if you study race,
yeah,
these are conversations that we have, right? And I've had more conversations about this than I have liked to have. But what is race in the first place?
Yes.
You know, so is race what, when you were born, what they put on your birth certificate? Or is it your parents? Is it what you mark on forms?
Yeah.
Or is it about the way that you look?
Yeah, because on forms, I'm white.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people that don't look necessarily the race that they identify as.
Yeah.
So does that mean that race is different things for different people?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then that's weird.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so on paper, you're white, right? But you don't look like what
a white
we
person.
Would. Yeah. Like how we would stereotypically define a white person.
Yeah.
And so what? And then your experience
is not like a
white person.
No.
So then that means that race is not necessarily what you put on a form.
Yeah. So I guess I would be transracial to I would just say Latino is a race, and that's what's so complicated.
Yeah. And it's like, why? Yeah. Who gets to define
what a race is?
Yeah.
Apparently the U.S.
government. Yeah.
Too.
And so because it's like, what is the, other than them being able to, because also that F's up the count, the way that we count the population.
Yes.
Because if we have all, say, Latinos being classified as white, then
more white people. Yeah.
Yes. But without necessarily treating all of them as white.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, that's very true.
Yeah. And so it's like, you, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, that's why transracial to me is so, it's so difficult because, and each country has their own categorization of race or their own interpretation of it and their own levels of it. Just like, you know, in our example of South Africa during the apartheid period.
Yeah. And that's the case in Brazil too.
Yeah, in Brazil.
Like there are people who, they and their siblings have the same parents. But because they look different, like the siblings, because the siblings look different, they identify as different races.
Yeah.
And, like, that's crazy. Because, like, in Brazil, my siblings would be a different race than me. Mm. My mom would be a different race than me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, well, not necessarily race. They don't think of it as race in the way that we do, but, like, a different categorization.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they would identify differently.
Yeah.
And so the way that we're talking about it is we're talking about it from an American perspective, right? But it's like, you know, it's so, so, even here it's so complicated. We just don't talk about it in the mainstream, like,
yeah,
you know, outside of academia, like, people are not having these kinds of conversations, like, oh, what is race? Is it how it identifies a form? Like, we think that we all understand what it is, but no.
Yeah, that's right. I think, like, with gender, it's different because even though some people argue it's problematic just to have, like, there's more than just male and female. Mm-hmm. Or a woman, or, you know, the sex being biological and based on your genitalia, like, it's we have more rigid ways of saying, if you have a vagina, you are a woman. If you have a penis, you are a man. Yeah. Now, different to your gender identity and how you feel that your affirmed identity versus your sex at birth, mm-hmm. then that's when you get to transgender. But for race, it's just kind of like we decide based on color, we decide based on the one drop rule, we decide based on culture. Your parents, on the government changing identification and classification, mm-hmm. and then throwing in ethnicity, mm-hmm. and then I think race is more complicated.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that you can easily say, so I guess now after having this conversation, if people were to ask me, well, how is transracial different than transgender, then I guess I would just have to go into, like, you know, race is so much more heavily, it's so much more complicated than gender, than the way that we categorize gender, and it has so much more historical history to it, especially in this country. And there's just so much diversity in how people look.
Yeah. And there's so many different racial groups, you know? And it's like, ultimately, the fact that the government gets to decide is really ridiculous. Yeah. Because you're technically, you as a Mexican immigrant are in the same racial category on paper as people who are descendants of Europeans and people who are Middle Eastern.
Yes.
And North African, yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Different religion, different cultures, different languages, different immigration. Like, it's just...
And different current experiences, different immigration experiences. And the way that your immigration experience is narrated by the United States is very different.
Yeah.
You know, because... And especially right now in our current political climate, like, it doesn't matter, even if there are Mexican immigrants who quote-unquote, or even the Mexican immigrants who quote-unquote came here the right way, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter because of the way that it's narrated.
Yeah, and even the people in the detention camps technically are coded as white because
That is crazy.
And how can...
So it's like, how do you have white Americans...
But people wouldn't. The government would.
And because they're from Central America.
Yeah.
So you have white Americans.
Yeah.
In technically, detention camps.
Yeah, technically, we abide by how our government has been categorizing racial groups. These people are white. Mm-hmm. And so I think.
And American.
Yeah. And so I think that. So I think at the end of the day, to be transracial means to have privilege. So you have to have the privilege of being able to choose your racial a different racial identity than one that you were born with, because, like you said, you can't choose to be white.
Yeah.
Even if I choose to be white, people aren't going to, I'm not read as white, and people aren't going to treat me like I'm white. So that's, I don't know. I think our transracial is...
It's complicated.
Yeah.
It is something that, I don't want to, I guess it depends on which direction you're trying to transition into. Because if you're white and you transition into any other racial group, you're technically transitioning into a minority group.
Mm, yeah.
Right? And so, I don't, like, the motives for that, depending on what the motivation is weird, because I feel like for our era, excluding Rachel Dolezal, people that are doing it on Instagram are doing it for attention.
Yeah,
right? Because, like, on Instagram or in media, being black is cool.
Yeah.
Now, socially and politically, not so much.
Yeah.
But so women are, I feel like a lot of women are doing it because, you know, they want to date black men, and, you know, having, looking quote unquote exotic is like a hot thing, right? Mm-hmm. That's sexy. But then if you're not white and you are trying to transition into the white group or category, it's because you probably want more privilege or access to more privilege or resources or power or whatever. And so I don't know. That to me is more, maybe because I'm black, I can kind of empathize with that, you know, like how back in the day, I mean, there were black people that, like, during Jim Crow, and, like, you know, I mean, even slavery, like, people that could pass, did so because they wanted freedom. So it wasn't like, oh, I want to be white because I think it's cool and sexy. It's like, no, because these are literally the people that are free. And I want, you know, so, and I think that that's probably the case today for people that might pass or want to be, try to be trans. I don't know. That girl on the Maury show was, or I don't know if she was on Maury, but it she was just weird. Yeah. But I think generally, people want, people see that this is a privileged group. This is the group that lives the life that they, you know, the American dream or whatever, who, those are the people that can attain it, and that's what they want. So I don't know. It's complicated, and I guess that's I guess where we're gonna leave it.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully this inspires you to think more about it, to talk to, think more about, like, what your racial group is if you've never thought about it.
Oh my God! And if you have not seen it, go look at Kim Kardashian's legs that she tweeted recently. Like, they are, like, damn near my color. Like, why? Who? Her husband is black and he's letting her do this. Why are you doing that? Why?
We can't rely on Kanye to have any form of judgment. We make any judgment calls.
I don't understand why everything else she's done. Why is the butt not enough? Why you gotta...
child,
and you have black children.
Yeah.
Why
I don't know.
Is that not enough? Why?
We need to have. We'll have a whole separate episode on the Kardashians.
Yeah,
because I think.
Oh yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, we can definitely unpack them. Maybe that'll be our next one.
Ooh yeah. Okay. Yeah, so tune in for our next episode. Where we are gonna, you know, this it'll be a follow up to transracial, and we'll just have an episode about the Kardashians.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, feedback, feel free to email us at woke.ishpodcast@gmail.com. Also follow us on Instagram at wokeishpodcast. We put up clips every week of our episode, so feel free to comment, like, follow. Thank you for listening, and until next week.
Bye.